That is the global interests and obligations that the United States could afford to defend with a GDP of nearly $3.46 trillion in 1960 could not all be defended simultaneously in 1986 with a GDP of $8.6 trillion, and even less to today, despite a GDP approaching $20 trillion. This paradox is only apparent. While the GDP of the United States in 1960 was almost half, about 46.7% of the GDP of the rest of the world, by 2020, it had become less than a third, about 30.8%. Kennedy's analysis, unfortunately, suffered from a case of bad timing. 3 years after the release of his book, the pro-Russian regimes in Europe collapsed. 4 years later, the first of Japan's lost decades began 5 years later. The Persian Gulf War, for which Washington assembled one of the largest military coalitions in history, broke out. And at the end of that same year, 1991, the Russian Empire, in its Soviet version, imploded. With the world's second economic power, Japan, experiencing a sharp slowdown and the Soviet Union disappearing, the relative decline of American GDP enjoyed a trend reversal, albeit a slight and short one. As a result, Kennedy's book, when not mocked, was often forgotten. Then began a period of U.S. intoxication with being the single superpower in a unipolar world. The hyperpower in which Americans thought they could reshape the world in their image despite no longer having the strength to do so, and even as new competitors were beginning to flex their muscles. America's relative decline did not depend solely on Japan's rise, and certainly not on the USSR, but on the ineluctable tendency to uneven development. In Aristotelian terms, Japan and the USSR were the accident, and relative decline was the substance. Nonetheless, some U.S. leaders took advantage of the accident to deal with the substance. The Persian Gulf War was one episode. Another was the intervention in Bosnia, and the enlargement of NATO to the east was yet another, just to recall the main stages. Meanwhile, the fact that there is an objective strategy avoiding second place for the United States, in Obama's words, does not necessarily mean that it becomes a subjective strategy that is consciously organized, planned, and implemented by a ruling class. There is no favorable wind for the sailor who does not know where to go, Senisa wisely said. And the United States looks like that sailor. Its relative decline has yet to be identified as such, and its political division means that any possible strategic hypothesis risks being modified or even overturned every 4 years. Moreover, much of the country's political class, drunk on ideologies, still feeds on the tale told by George W. Bush's advisor Karl Rove nearly 20 years ago. When we act, we create our own reality. And while specialists are scrambling to study or decipher that reality, we will act again, creating other new realities.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. You're listening to analysis on the most important events taking place in the Islamic calendar. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Alavi. Sayyid Alavi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to
you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My salams to you and the dear audience. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.
A very fascinating and controversial topic for today's discussion, and that is plastic surgery. It's becoming complicated. It started at the very beginning with the nose surgery, rhinoplasty.
Now you have lips, now you have eyelashes.
Now we have lips, sorry, we have breasts, sorry, we have buttocks. We have the private parts, cosmetic surgery, okay?
Right.
So this is the body. Right. As long as you go on, you will start with a body. So today, okay, let's do the liposuction. Tomorrow, let's
We shouldn't exaggerate. We should not exaggerate, and we should fix our culture.
This is what the bodily value does with you, brother.
We should fix our culture. We should teach our people about the philosophy, okay? The philosophy is very important,
yes.
Very good.
Okay.
But after, and we mentioned the intellectual dimension, very good. But as I said, I mentioned the hair implant, the lines of your forehead, and even psychological dimensions. We live in a society, after all.
What about the psychology,
in a certain age, when you were a little bit bigger,
okay,
it was seen as attractive.
Okay,
if you had your eyebrows in this shape, it was seen as attractive.
Okay.
Today, that psychology of the society has changed. Now, if you have a big nose, that lady, for example, in my case, a person came to me and said, look, I'm not getting any proposals. Why? Because of my nose.
Really?
And now she did that surgery, which is not haram according to the Sharia.
Okay.
And now she feels psychologically better. She has much higher self-esteem.
Okay.
Yes, the inner dimension.
This is my question.
But look, it helped this lady. It helped at her level in a vertical line.
Okay.
Not everyone are at the high level you are.
Okay.
Some people are at the lower level in a vertical line, different degrees. They say, look, I feel better if I do this nose operation.
Still, we are talking about the psychology, which I believe is a very modern, secular knowledge. We are talking now as a Muslim scholar or Islamic, for example, panel discussion about the spiritual aspect. We want to talk about Jamal Daruni and Jamal Biruni, the inner beauty, okay? With maybe the woman, the girl with a big nose, does find the outer beauty. But what about the inner beauty? And this inner beauty we are talking about very much refers to the spirit and not the psychology.
She had the inner beauty. Sorry for interrupting. She had the inner beauty, no doubt.
Now she wants to
But that wouldn't help her to get a proposal. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Okay, so now
she has the inner beauty,
sorry,
but I'm not feeling attracted to
Wahid,
you, lady.
It is proposal.
Why? Because of
somebody has to propose, not you make yourself a prey of proposal, okay?
No, I didn't get that one. but people would not come and propose to her because according to the psychology of the society that she was living in, the norm was
so. Do you believe in such psychology of the society? Is it right?
I'm not saying it is right.
Uh-huh.
No, the psychology changes.
The system of the values.
It changes. But I'm saying that. Look, now I'm living here in Denmark, in Sweden, wherever I am.
Okay.
And this is in China. This is the norm here. Okay. What should I do about it? I want to live and I want to get married. You're talking about inner dimension, this and that. It won't help me right now.
It will help you at the beginning of the marriage and you find a nice husband or wife. But believe me, and I'm sure about it, that your nose surgery will not help you after the marriage.
Yeah.
The inner beauty will help you, brother.
That's true. That's true. Okay? But you need to come to the first step first.
Okay. you might pass the gates.
Right.
You might pass the... But when you are in the city...
I'm with you.
You wake up in the morning, you have no cosmetic on your face or something like that. What your husbands need is your behavior, your nurturing of the children, and this and that. So nose is the entrance, but for sure is not the destination.
Exactly.
Okay, Sheikh, what about you?
Why do you consider the inner beauty as something opposed to the outer beauty?
No, it's not that. It's not opposed to the outer beauty.
So why do you say that?
But inner beauty is important. Preferable, isn't it?
No, both of them could be preferable. Why not? And there's no problem with that.
Simultaneously.
Right? Yeah. If you beautify your soul, so that's good. That's really nice. Okay. It's appreciated. But if you beautify your appearance, what is the problem with
that? So the problem is this way.
Exaggeration?
It's a both way
road. There's no problem.
The question is this. Sheikh, the question is this. I believe inner beauty will bring you outer beauty too. But necessarily outer...
Physical outer beauty, you mean?
I mean...
It changes, for example, the shape of your face.
Because we do the outer beauty to be accepted by the society around.
Now you went into psychology yourself.
What about vice versa? Does necessarily the outer beauty and the cosmetic surgery bring the inner beauty to be accepted by the people around? Let me give you examples. Were the imams and the prophets all during the history beautiful in the face?
Yes.
No, they were not. No.
They were.
No. Compared to today's system of the value. For example...
If the prophets were today, right now, here, we would consider them beautiful.
For example...
We should understand. I mean, we should notice that beauty is a kind of relative concept.
Uh-huh. Right.
See? From culture to culture, there are... criteria for beauty that might differ from one culture to other culture, from one society to the other society, from one age to the other age.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when it comes to, your question was this, that why should we change sometimes, the appearance of us?
Okay.
If someone consider this kind of, let's say, what can say the opposite of beauty?
Ugliness.
Ugliness.
Yes.
If someone consider this ugliness as a kind of disease for himself or for herself.
Okay.
Yeah, and he wants to cure.
Okay.
So as we do many kind of surgeries with the other parts of our body,
for the medical uses.
Yeah, so we can do it with our face and the outer
side of the body. Sorry, Sheikh, the medical case is different from the cosmetic one.
Yeah.
You know, you do it with pure intention to look more beautiful. Is it more... We got nice statistics too.
Right.
That so many people who did cosmetic surgery and aesthetic surgery were not satisfied with their body and face too.
Because of that psychological disease.
Because they said that, okay, I did this surgery.
They need mind surgery, as you said, prior to the program.
Okay, very good.
They need a mind surgery. They have made a nose job 4 times now, and they're still not satisfied.
Okay.
That is a dimension, yes, that we don't agree with, an exaggeration. But what about when we go to the narrations and the prophets that take away or take away your hair, for example, when it comes comes to some parts of the body?
Okay.
That we have narrations which say take away that part of hair. And according to this view that you've introduced in the beginning, Allah created everything in perfection.
Sorry, Sayyid.
So we shouldn't take it away?
Those etiquettes come with your hygiene of the body.
The hygiene.
Yeah, the hygiene of the body.
But we could say that Allah created us like that. Why are you taking away that hair?
Does cosmetic surgery necessarily bring hygiene?
I want to come to that. Now when you have the technology, alhamdulillah, we call it laser. Right?
Okay.
With laser, you take away that hair. You don't need to use powder anymore. Mm-hmm. Not the traditional powder with a very bad smell.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Or shave.
Of course, the new generations are good at smell, man. The fragrance.
or shave, which harm the skin.
Okay.
But you use laser, which takes away the hair permanently. Are you going against those narrations or no? You're working towards that narration.
Is it again?
Is that something bad?
This is not.
I'm asking you both.
This is not a surgery.
Not a surgery.
Hair
but
removal
it has
is
to
not
do,
a surgery. Okay.
No, but it has to do with
we
what?
Are talking
cosmetics?
About surgery. For example, a woman
at has the it age to do with
of
cosmetics
at the age of 80, at the age of 80 or 90, looks like a Barbie girl at the age of 18 or 19. Is this good? Does it sound normal at all to you? That,
no.
For example, a woman at the age of 90 or 80 or 100, even I can find it among the actresses and the Hollywood ceremonies and the sessions, you can find them, comes to the scene with augmented breasts. Does it sound normal
to
you?
No, exaggeration is not good.
Sorry, does it sound normal to you?
No, it doesn't. But we're not talking about those
perfection?
Exaggeration
Sorry,
examples.
this is the system getting us to, brother.
Well, that's wrong. Maybe we should put laws that stop you from your second nose job. And
this is the new system of the secularism that is getting our girls and boys too. And now this is the problem. Okay. The girls who want
but
to
But laser
look,
has to do with cosmetics.
Excuse me. The boys who look like girls now.
Oh, yeah.
The girls who look like boys now, okay? We are doing all this, you know? Why? Because as long as you are shape, you are with your body, with the materialistic things in your hand, you can do everything with that. It is touchable. You can cut your finger, you can, you know, I don't know, do the cosmetic surgery and your ears look like a Satan or devil or evilish power. What about spirituality?
Right.
If you want to make it more perfect, what should you do? Does it need any type of materialistic physical surgery?
No.
It needs knowledge.
Knowledge and wisdom.
And wisdom. Mm.
And seyr ve suluk.
But what about nowadays? You know, what about the
new
generation?
No, I mean, we are with you. You don't have anyone who opposes you in this aspect.
No, I do.
We're
I do want to say yes.
And we are against exaggeration.
Yeah,
but at the same time, we're saying, look, we don't have this no compromise attitude. No, there are some places that maybe it's good for that person, or you should maybe even do it, and so on.
And just
we not want to go 100% and say no.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hujurat says, we created you with different languages and from different races so that you know each other.
Yeah, ta'arafu.
Okay, and ta'arafu, okay, so that you know each other. But what about nowadays? The girls all, through the cosmetic surgery, look alike.
Mm.
You even cannot differentiate with this face with that face. If you have a picture or a photo from the childhood, you can differentiate. But look at just the faces, all looking the same. Even the boys, man. Well, Sheikh, what's your answer?
You know, when it comes to this kind of surgeries, first of all, as I mentioned, we should understand that it is by itself, there's no problem with that.
Okay.
So if it leads to some kind of harm to the body,
mm-hmm.
or if it leads to some kind of, for example, sin and ma'asiyah,
mm-hmm.
so of course, in that case, it would not be permissible.
Okay.
So from jurisprudential perspective, this is the answer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when it comes to, so if it beautifies you, yeah, it beautifies you. So there's no problem with that.
Okay.
If it makes you more ugly, as you mentioned sometimes, yeah. So of course, I think that makes no sense to make yourself uglier by the surgeries.
And so, that is relative, as you mentioned.
Yeah, of course, that is also
that's
relative.
Right.
And also the point is that, you know, for example, sometimes if you remove or cut some extra kind of things in your body, like nails, like hair, yeah.
Okay. Right.
These sort of things.
It these are not surgery. These are the etiquettes of the
sometimes,
adult.
For example,
okay.
some parts of your body, for
mm-hmm.
example, grows
okay.
like not naturally.
Okay,
yeah?
Okay, okay.
So if you remove that, if you cut that,
to make
yourself beautiful.
This is the impairment
this is,
or reconstructive
no
surgery. There's no
since
problem.
Beauty, since okay. beauty
but it
is
has
a relative.
To do with cosmetics, yes
yeah.
or no? We're talking about cosmetics. You go all the time into surgery. It's not surgery. It
okay.
is cosmetics.
Okay.
Laser or removing
yes,
hair.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or
yeah.
if imagine a technology comes and you can fix your nails forever.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You don't need to cut them anymore. What about that?
And sometimes, for example, your nose.
Is that okay?
Growing naturally.
I still believe that there are so many questions unanswered regarding the creation of our body.
Yeah.
Maybe the we can say
there's a hikmah behind
there's
it.
A hikmah
yes,
behind
a
for example
behind
the hair and the nail and something like that. Unfortunately nowadays because of these, we can't say, as you said, modern sciences like medicine or something like that, the developments in the laboratory, so many secrets behind the creation of the body is being disclosed to the people around. I still believe that the value system of the modern world has affected the Muslim lands too. Okay? Yeah. So that the Muslim brothers and sisters want to do cosmetic surgery in order to look more beautiful.
Right.
But what is suggested in Islam is the light within the face, a light within the world, and light within your soul and spirit.
Very good. And moderation.
Okay.
Moderation. Okay.
Where does this light go? Okay.
Right.
A person who is ugly, a person who does not look beautiful according to your new fake value system, social norms, but has something eloquent in his speech, something to teach you, has a light, has affects your soul, spirituality, and has a beauty. And you look at him beautifully, man.
That's true. What about teeth? We didn't speak about teeth.
Okay, now your teeth. Miswak, yeah?
Yeah, you do miswak. Your teeth might not have any issues.
You mean orthodontics or something like that?
Your teeth might not have any issues, but the person makes another extra surgery.
Uh-huh.
So he makes it more white. And nothing is wrong with that. Is there something wrong with that?
No, with the white teeth, no. Okay.
There you go, cosmetics. Helping you, making you more perfect.
Yeah, we go to, okay, that's right. Now the people do laminate on their teeth, you know, to more white, even whiter than the face's color. Okay, that's all right. Okay, thank you much, Sheikh.
Thank you.
And Sayyid Alevi for your presence in the program talking about the cosmetic surgery and what is the real meaning of beauty. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners. Fi amanallah.
Food for thought.
Salam to you all, and let us recite to you a widely recorded saying of the Prophet concerning his Ahlul Bayt, whose spotless purity has been vouchsafed by God Almighty in Ayah 33 of Surah Ahzab. The stars are a security for the people of the earth against drowning when at sea, while my Ahlul Bayt are a security to the people of earth against discord.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
Summer heat is here, and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. A Pairi Deza Zoo, located in Wallonia, in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water, and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool. So we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan. Let's check it out.
This is a global stage for talents. The fifth International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in four categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the two-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their knack for stage performance.
The scale of this contest is global. Many of us participants did not have any idea we could be stand-up comedians or show hosts. But when we got on stage here, we ourselves discovered our own talents.
I really love that, seeing that all people around the world are coming here and presenting themselves. It's a very great feeling. Of course, they will be progressed and they will develop yourself when they will get the result.
The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise, and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about the stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community.
The fifth Stage Stars Festival is aimed at bringing stage talents to light. Many of the participants already have a few years of experience, so this stage is not supposed to discover them, but to springboard them to a higher level in their careers.
All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
Age is just a number when it comes to pursuing your goals. That's what 98-year-old Italian man Giuseppe Paterno has proven. Paterno has become the oldest university graduate in his country for the second time. In July 2020, he was graduated in history and philosophy from the University of Palermo. 2 years on, he's now got a master's degree in the same subject. Paterno grew in a poor family in Sicily and always had a desire for learning, but he was unable to go to university at a young age. He finished high school aged 31, 6 years after he got married. Paterno's love to study or for study never stopped, making him enter the university in his 90s.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. Some rescue stories are tragic, but this one has a happy ending. A stranded elephant and her calf have been pulled out of a drainage hole in a dramatic rescue mission during monsoon rains in Thailand. The mother elephant was guarding her calf that had fallen into a golf course drain hole when rescuers arrived. Vets had to use tranquilizers to subdue the frantic mother, but on her way down, she hit her head on a concrete block, knocking her unconscious as she fell into the muddy cavity. Rescuers used a crane to lift her out. It took two men jumping up and down on her chest to resuscitate her. Meanwhile, a digger was brought in to move the muddy earth and create a ramp for the calf to climb out. It took the team more than 3 hours to finish the operation. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
The more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. Then the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused. The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles on planets of planets and galaxies.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about Satan in the view of Islam. Please be with us.
Mm-hmm.
so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take.
Today, Monday, is the 25th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of the month of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of the month of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear brothers and sisters, for this part, we want to listen to chapter Ibrahim from the Holy Quran, verse 22.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي فلا تلوموني ولوموا أنفسكم ما أنا بمصرخكم وما أنتم بمصرخي إني كفرت بما أشركتمون من قبل إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
And Satan will say when the matter has been concluded, indeed, Allah had promised you the promise of truth, and I promised you, but I betrayed you. But I had no authority over you except that I invited you, and you responded to me. So do not blame me, but blame yourselves. I cannot be called to your aid, nor can you be called to my aid. Indeed, I deny your association of me with Allah before. Indeed, for the wrongdoers is a painful punishment.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the hereafter, sinners seek to get others involved in their sins, and they try to find fellow conspirators so as to put the whole blame on them for the wrong they have committed. Sometimes the sinner will say, friends seduced me. At other times he say, corrupt leaders made me corrupt. Some other times he blames the Satan and regards him as the cause of his own seduction. But the Satan answers, do not put the blame on me. I did not have any role to play except wavering your opinion, calling you to it. It was you who decided to deviate and become deviant. On this series of today's special, we're going to speak about Satan and Iblis. This part for this episode. There are many Satans, but only one Iblis. Iblis as Satan is capitalized because of him being the epitome as well as the source of all evil and mischief, whereas other Satans are in lowercase. The relationship between the two is one of a leader or godfather and followers. It is truly enlightening to study how precisely the Quran uses the words Satan and Iblis, recognizing the context and giving each word its exact meaning and role. For example, when a discourse is about prostration before Adam, the Quran uses the word Iblis, because solely in his personal capacity did he refuse to follow divine orders and to prostrate. However, when the discourse moves to the acts of deceiving Adam and his wife and causing them to fall, the Quran employs the word Satan, because thus he acted in his capacity as the avowed deceiver. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with studying various ways of satanic temptations. At the same time, it must be indicated that if Satan was one of the angels, however, it must be indicated that there's no indication in this connection. However, the Holy Quran says the Satan was kana min al-jinn. The Satan belonged to the jinn. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. Therefore, he averted from the command of, from practicing the command of his Lord. At the same time, since Iblis or Satan used to be among the Satans, I mean collectively, he was regarded as one of them. For example, imagine that, for example, someone may be associated with a company of people, with a group of people. Then other people, I mean other outsiders, may come to regard this person as one of that group, while there may be some other, I mean, differences. In this connection, it must be indicated that Satan was created out of fire. However, angels were created from light, and this is a big differentiation and difference between them. Some people may say, may raise this question, why Satan was created? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create Satan in order to mislead Adam and the children of Adam and the descendants of Adam? Certainly not, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never created any entity in order to mislead others. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never created Satan as a misleading creature. Rather, Satan, I mean, for a very long, long period of time, used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it was Satan's own decision. I mean, it was his own choice not to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
For today, Satan's best strategies. Let's get familiar with them. Having kibr. Anyone who possesses half a mustard seed of kibr in his heart will not be granted admission to paradise. This hadith sums up the danger of having kibr. Kibr is the main cause of racism and oppression. Kibr is also one of the main characteristics of Iblis. It was his kibr which got him to be cursed and kicked out of heaven. So this is one of the most important characteristics. We need to cleanse our hearts. Kibr means arrogance. Showing off. This is the other strategy of Satan. Showing off will be certainly earn a person the displeasure of Allah and love of the Satan. For this reason, we need to always check our intention.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi.
Now, of course, we have the solution too. How to defeat Satan? Seek refuge with Allah and be insistent upon the invocations the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny taught us. Indeed, when the Satan of the believer meets of the Satan of the disbeliever, he sees the Satan of the believer as pale, covered with dirt, and terribly weak. The Satan of the disbeliever asks him, "What happened to you? Wow, be unto you. You have been destroyed." So the Satan of the believer will respond, "No, by Allah, the disbeliever doesn't have anything essential with him except that when he eats, drinks, sleeps, and enters his house, he remembers the name of Allah." Then the Satan of the disbeliever says, "But I eat from disbeliever's food and from his drinks and sleep on his bed, so one is stingy and the other is weak and overpowered."
Also, another encounter of prophets and shaitan is when the prophet Ibrahim went to sacrifice his son Ismail. The prophet Ibrahim says to his son, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. O son Ismail, I saw a dream that I'm sacrificing you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you think, my son? Ismail, without thinking, without taking time to ponder on the question, says, "Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar." O Allah, O Prophet of Allah, O Ibrahim, O my father, if'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. You shall find me amongst the patient ones. So he took his son, and they're going for Ibrahim to sacrifice his son Ismail. And along the way, they saw three individuals. It was the shaitan that came in the form of three different individuals trying to persuade the Prophet Ibrahim not to sacrifice his son Ismail. First, an old man came. An old man came saying, "Ibrahim, this is your only son. This is your beloved. You saw a dream and now you're ending up sacrificing your son? Don't do it." So the Prophet Ibrahim took seven pebbles, rocks, and he threw it at this man. And it was the shaitan. And that is why when we go to Hajj, we stone the shaitan in those locations before we sacrifice the sheep. The second was an old lady. The third, so three times the shaitan came to manipulate the Prophet Ibrahim.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, that is the difference between Satan and Iblis and the concept of both of them. So we meet you soon. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. And fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi. محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.